Hello and welcome to the eighth week of 88.9 KETR's The Locker Room. I'm Cooper Welch, and we've also got Taylor Phelps and Ryan Billups here, my co-hosts. This week, we're going to talk more March Madness, of course, because it's going on right now. We'll also talk Mavericks basketball. And then in the Friday episode, we'll talk a few controversial topics, including shot clocks in NCAA basketball. And we'll talk the odds to win the Super Bowl. All right, but first, let's start off with March Madness. Guys, first, tell us how you're doing in your bracket right now.
Go ahead, Taylor. I'll finish off since
you're dominating. Right now in our league, I'm ranked first, but I got to tell you, honestly, I think I'm throwing in the towel. Gonzaga was one of my contestants to play in the championship game against Indiana, and they're out now. So that really hurt, especially with LaSalle and Wichita State. I think they're hurting everyone's bracket. You have a 13 and a 9 seed in the Sweet 16, and one of those will advance to the Elite Eight to take on either Ohio State or Arizona. So you're seeing these high seeds advance, and this just the story of really, I think, the decade in upsets in college basketball, if not the NCAA tournament as a whole, is the Florida Gulf Coast story, with them only being a university since, I think it's what, 1998, 1999 or something like that. And already, I heard this week that they were originally supposed to be an online school.
Yeah.
And now they've already made it to a Sweet 16 and compete this Friday for a spot in the Elite Eight against their big brother, Florida. So, I don't know. I think I'm throwing in the towel on this one. I'm just going to sit back. I'm going to enjoy what Florida Gulf Coast is doing and enjoy what LaSalle and Wichita State and even Oregon are doing so far in this tournament.
Well, I want to get back to Florida Gulf Coast, but man, my bracket is just pathetic. I'm in the 41.7 percentile. I mean, that is terrible. I'm in sixth place in my league out of nine people, so not very good there.
It's really bad when your girlfriend, too, is beating you, Ryan.
You had to throw that out there. Only by 20 points.
I don't know if you can catch it, though.
My points possible remaining isn't terrible. I have 1,080 points possible, because three of my final four teams are still in it, which is awesome. Right. I lost Georgetown. I had Georgetown and VCU going off against each other, so I lost both of them.
Ooh, in the championship game?
Yeah. Well, no, in the final four.
Okay.
But I had Miami and Louisville in the championship game, so I still have my two. I'm hanging on to them. Hopefully,
that can help.
If
that
I win out, I'll catch up with Cooper and Taylor.
So do you think, let's talk number one seeds. Do you think, how many number one seeds are you seeing making it?
Right now we got
to
Kansas.
To the final four? Or what are we talking?
To the final four.
Yeah, right now we got Kansas, Indiana, and Louisville.
I have one final four team making it, and that is Louisville. I have Miami beating Indiana.
Let's put brackets aside for a second. From what you've seen of the play so far, How many of those three could you see actually making it?
Okay. Well, I still see Miami beating Indiana.
Okay.
See, there is no one seed left.
You do see Louisville. You do see Louisville making it?
I still see Louisville making it.
Yeah.
I mean, I really do.
Louisville's just a really good
team.
They're just
really solid all around. And I think Kansas will probably make it, too. They have to go through Florida, obviously.
Yes. Or Gulf Coast.
Or Gulf Coast.
And they got to go. You got to remember, they got to go through Michigan this Friday.
Yeah,
so
and they almost lost their last game in North Carolina.
For sure, I would say Louisville. I think Kansas is still.
Well, Louisville's just been annihilating people.
Kansas is in a really hard
bracket, yeah.
Bracket, too.
Louisville has actually won more games, not won more, lost less games than the Miami Heat have in the same amount of time.
Wow.
Yeah, so it's pretty insane.
And they've won their first game 79-48, their second game 82-56. So Louisville's just skating by easily.
Yeah, right.
They got to take on Oregon this Friday, which is a tough team. So I don't know how that's going to pan out. Their first two opponents are relatively weak athletically compared to them, in NCANT and Colorado State. I think Oregon has a lot more athleticism to be able to compete with Louisville. So I think that will definitely be their toughest competition so far. But the team that I had going to the Final Four is Duke, and they've just been kind of squeaking by with a 12-point win against Albany and a 16-point win against Creighton. So I don't really know what that means. I don't know if that's just Duke's not playing to their full potential, if these teams are playing up to Duke's potential, or what's going to happen. But Michigan State that game is definitely going to test. Whoever wins that game will have earned it.
And Michigan State blew out Memphis in the last round, so they're playing well. I think Michigan State wins that game.
Michigan State, a lot of people have them going to the Final Four, and Tom Izzo doesn't mess around in March. He doesn't. So.
And a lot of people are ignoring Michigan State right now. That's not one of the big storylines. Because
they're a three seed. They've had a good season, but they're not like on incredible streaks or anything like that. They just play Michigan State basketball, and that can take you far in March.
Yeah. I'd have to say that the Midwest and the South brackets are by far the two toughest brackets this year.
Yeah, I would agree with that. Okay, especially with Gonzaga getting knocked off early.
Here's my next question for you guys.
Okay.
When we look at Florida Gulf Coast, and let's go ahead and say Oregon, because we know LaSalle or Wichita State. Well, we'll throw them in there too. Which one do you see advancing between Florida Gulf Coast or which of the high seas do you see advancing? Florida Gulf Coast, Oregon, LaSalle, Wichita State. Which of those do you see?
Right.
If they can.
Well,
when you say advancing, just to the next round?
To the next round.
Okay.
Like, do you think Florida Gulf Coast has a better chance of beating Florida, or Oregon has a better chance of beating Louisville?
Okay, I see your question. Okay. I would say Florida Gulf Coast has a better chance of beating Florida. I don't think it's going to happen, though. If they do happen to get by Florida, there's no way they're getting by Kansas or Michigan. I just don't see them getting by Florida, though.
The thing you got to understand, really, though, Florida Gulf Coast game flows right into Florida's.
Yeah.
Florida Gulf Coast is an up-and-down team. Florida's going to try to take Florida Gulf Coast out of what they want to do, but in doing that, they're going to put pressure on them. They're going to run the ball up and down the floor, and that's what Florida Gulf Coast does better than I think anyone in the country.
Right.
They have a young team, athletic team, and they're playing carefree. They're letting threes fly. They're throwing alley-oops. Mm-hmm. They're just a fun, energetic team to watch.
Dunk City.
Here's the thing, though. Up until now, teams haven't had a lot of time to prepare for Florida Gulf Coast, because why would you spend a lot of time game planning for Florida Gulf Coast? I mean, one, you only have like a day to prepare in between games. They have until Friday to
and they've been so underestimated
before they play Florida Gulf. They've had a couple games to see him play. I just don't see Florida Gulf Coast making it. That's just purely gut.
Steve Fisher from San Diego State actually mispronounced their name. He called them Florida State. And I think the press interview. So this is a school that it's ridiculous what's happened to them. But look at how much their enrollment numbers are going to increase. Andy Enfield should get the pay raise of the century what he's going to do to this university. Because it already had things going for it. It's on the beach. It's all new facilities, all new dorms. But now look at it. We're talking about it right now. There's other schools around the nation that aren't getting the exposure that we're giving them right now, Florida Gulf Coast, and it's all over the news.
Mm-hmm.
And schools like the small schools in Texas, like SFA and Sam Houston State, they're not getting the same exposure because they're not winning. So we see how much athletics can do just to a university.
Yeah.
Well, if you look at Infield's salary right now, he makes $157,000 a year, which is a lot of money, granted.
I think Florida Gulf Coast already offered to double that.
They offered to double that.
And I still don't know.
There's going to be offers.
I still don't know if that will keep him. Because Minnesota's had reports of already looking at him. And also Shaka Smart at VCU.
Which, I think there will be offers higher than that.
Minnesota getting rid of Tubby Smith, that was a little unexpected.
That was ridiculous.
Yeah.
Tubby Smith, the question is, I understand UCLA. They had John Wooden, who won, I think, 10 NCAA championships there with Kareem Abdul-Jabbar and Bill Walton. But now, who is Minnesota? Who is Minnesota to fire
Tubby
a national
Smith.
Championship coach? How are they ever going to get another coach of the caliber of Tubby
and
Smith?
And they made the tournament and beat UCLA.
And had an upset in the tournament.
That's great.
So I don't understand who Minnesota thinks they are.
It has to be internal. Yeah. There has to be something going on.
It can't be production.
Keeps happening to him.
To me, that's almost as a ridiculous firing as when the Chargers fired the coach they had before, North Turner. When they made the playoffs 5 straight seasons with him, I think it was like Schrodinger or something like some weird name like that. But he made the playoffs 5 straight seasons, and they fired him because he didn't make it to the next round.
Like
Billup
said, there's a lot more that goes into keeping your job than just your production.
Just winning. He must be absolutely horrible at
maybe
owner,
he's just a bad person to be.
Well, I don't know, because I mean they had Bobby Knight around, and nobody likes him.
Well,
I mean, he was in coaching for forever.
True, very true. But there must be something else going on.
I mean,
it can't be production.
Ben Holland went to three Final Fours in a row. So you kind of think his isn't deserved. But UCLA people are living in the past. There's not going to be dynasties like John Wooden had anymore.
But he also kind of sucked the last, like,
yeah, they haven't been. They have not been good the last few seasons. And I understand his firing more than Tubby Smith.
Yeah.
Because Tubby Smith brought a Minnesota team that wasn't that great and actually made them a competitor in college basketball. So I don't understand where Minnesota gets the nerve to think that they're good enough to be a Final Four caliber team, because they're not year in and year out. And Tubby Smith has been able to create a basketball atmosphere there that's actually been good to the university, and I think that's going to struggle without him there.
Right. Well, let's go back to the high seeds, the 12 Oregon, 15 Florida Gulf Coast, 13 seed LaSalle, and 9 seed Wichita State. Mm-hmm. Which of these has the best chance to make it to the championship game right now?
To the national championship.
To the national championship.
Oh, my goodness. It's not going to be Oregon.
Okay.
I think Oregon has too tough of a road, because they're either going to have to play Duke, Michigan State in the next round, and they're going to have to get through Louisville now. If they get through that, then yeah, they're one of the best teams in college basketball. Yeah.
Honestly, but I think Florida Gulf Coast has the best chance.
I do too. I just think,
just because of their strength of schedule.
Okay, why not LaSalle or Wichita State?
Because they'd have to go through Ohio State, and Ohio State is a big physical team.
Yeah, but
I just think Wichita State and LaSalle have squeaked by on some not, that's not that hard of a region there. Gonzaga, we saw, did not live up to the hype. Pittsburgh always exits early. Wisconsin is a solid basketball team, but they lack in talent.
And it's not like LaSalle or Wichita State were blowing teams out.
Ole Miss relies on Marshall Henderson shooting 20-something shots a game, so he's not going to be able to take you far. And Kansas State is in the Big 12, and we know how weak the Big 12 is.
That's true, but Ohio State almost lost to Iowa State, a 10 seed.
Iowa State is a solid team, though.
But Iowa State did not live up to the potential throughout the season. I mean, you look at that. You look at what you were talking about, Oregon, Michigan State, Duke, that's a lot different than Arizona, Ohio State, and also Louisville.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they would have to get through either,
I think, Wichita
State, Duke, and Louisville.
Oregon definitely has the toughest road.
That is by far.
Oregon has the toughest road.
I think that Wichita State and LaSalle will not have gone through as tough a challenge to get there. That's why I say Florida Gulf Coast. They play with the high energy. They got nothing to lose. They have the best chance of getting there, just because of the style they play. And they have tough opponents too. They're going to be tested, whether it's Michigan, Kansas, or Florida.
Right.
That they have, all three that they'd have to get through. I still don't think that anyone can really shut them down if they play the way they've been playing right now, because there's no one more athletic. And what's crazy about this Florida Gulf Coast team, I know we keep talking about them, they only have one senior.
Okay.
And that's Sherwood Brown, number 5.
The dreads
people have been
guy.
Talking about,
he
the guy with
though.
The dreads. I don't remember. I think he starts, but he's the walk-on.
Mm-hmm.
And he's just playing incredible. He's earned himself an NBA contract just based off this tournament
definitely.
Performance and the way he plays. I mean, the Brett Comer, the point guard, he's a sophomore. The person we see doing all the alley-oops or catching all the alley-oops, Eric McKnight, he's a redshirt sophomore. So this team is coming back.
Mm-hmm.
So it'll be interesting to see if Andy Enfield is still the head coach next year, depending on the kind of contract situation he's going to get.
Yeah. Definitely.
But to really answer your question, none of them make it to the national championship.
Okay.
In my opinion, none of them make it there. It's too much for a school like that to handle when you get to the big boys. It's just going to be too much.
They have a lot of attention on them right now. They had a pep rally today, and they're really living it up. I don't know if that's going to help them or if that's going to hurt them, but we'll just have to see.
All right. Well, let's do this then. If you could start your tournament bracket all over again right now from the Sweet 16, who would you take in the national championship game? Who are the two facing each other, and who would win?
Right now, I'm probably going to say Ohio State would come out of that side of the bracket. They're playing so well right now. Aaron Kraft is playing out of his mind.
Okay.
They are the ones that look like a team on a mission.
Mm-hmm.
Duke looks like they're just playing because they're Duke. Louisville is playing very well, but they're just so much more athletically gifted than the teams they've played that it's coming easy to them. They're quicker. They're faster. I don't think they've really been tested. I think Ohio State's that team that looks like a team on a mission, and that's what you're searching for.
Okay.
The thing that hurts me is that Indiana's not looking like that team, which they should be.
Yeah.
So I could almost see I don't know, if I had to start all over again, a lot of people are saying Florida. I think Kansas could really make it there. I would probably choose Ohio State and either Kansas or Florida.
Florida? Okay. Mm-hmm. What about you, Bill?
I think I would stick with my initial gut. I'd go with Louisville and Florida. Louisville, they don't necessarily have that tough of a way to get there. I mean, we don't know who they'll be playing in the
talking about the game they have next
in the Final Four, but in the next game they have Oregon. They're on to the Elite Eight. Then they're probably going to either play Michigan State or Duke. Mm-hmm. Another not that tough of a game. I think Miami's for sure going to get there. Miami will have to go through Indiana. Indiana does not look good. They do not look like Indiana basketball, and they haven't for a while, to be honest with you.
I just think Indiana can turn it on, though. I think they still have a shot to turn it on. If they could turn it on against Syracuse, they'll be all right. I mean, it's always tough for a one seed to really get hyped up for the first two games because you're just expected to win. Mm-hmm. Now it's gut check time. It's time to show who you are as a man.
Right.
And advance yourself.
Right. I just don't think anybody in the South is going to make it. I think Miami can handle any team that could come out of there. I mean, it's either going to be Kansas, Michigan, Florida, or Florida Gulf Coast. I think they can handle any of those teams.
Okay. I'm going to have to say Louisville makes it from that side of the bracket. I think they can get past Ohio State. I have no confidence in Ohio State just because in the really big games this year, every time they faced a really big game, they've lost every time. So I think Louisville will beat Ohio State if they can get past Duke or Michigan State. And then I see on the right side of the bracket, I see Florida, as much as I'd love Florida Gulf Coast to win, I see Florida winning, and I see them easily handling Kansas. And I see Florida versus Miami in that Final Four matchup, and Miami barely squeaks by Florida. So it's Louisville versus Miami, Big East versus ACC championship. Miami used to be in the Big East, too, so that's interesting.
So who do you have winning it, then? I have Miami winning it.
I have to go with Louisville. I think they're the best team.
Okay.
I let's not sleep on Michigan, either.
Right,
Michigan's
a great
killed
team.
VCU mm-hmm. and killed San Diego State.
VCU is a team that a lot of people thought were
a lot of people thought VCU could make it to the Final Four, and they just crushed them. So
yeah,
I think Michigan's guard play is right up there with like a Louisville's. It's very
and Michigan was number one in the country at one point this year.
Yeah.
So, all right, well that's gonna do it for the first segment. We're gonna go to a quick break, and then we'll be back with NBA basketball. Getting a lot of basketball this time around. Stay tuned for more KETR's Locker Room.
Hello, I'm the host of Latin Soul, David Herbaz. Join me on Tuesday night for a show that will spice up your life with selections of jazz and soul and more in a Latin style. Latin Soul, Tuesday night at 9, only on 88.9 KETR.
This week on Latino USA, it's fast, it's loud, it's got accordion. Meet San Antonio's Piñata Protest. That's this week on Latino USA.
Saturday morning at 9 on your station, 88.9 KETR.
Hello, everyone. This is KETR's Locker Room. This is Ryan Phillips with my co-hosts Cooper Welch and Taylor Phelps. Guys, we're going to talk a little NBA basketball. Do the Mavs make the playoffs? Taylor?
I want to say I don't know what I want to say.
Do you believe?
Do I believe? I believe now they have a chance. Like, I think a few weeks ago, I would have said no, absolutely not. But now I see them as a different team. I mean, beating Utah by, what was it, like 20? Beating Utah really badly. The Lakers are playing horribly. They're not playing what they were playing like. Utah seems out of it. Like, they don't even want it.
Yeah,
so it's there for the taking. I mean, what do you say? They're one and a half games back?
For anybody who doesn't know, the Mavs are 1.5 games behind the LA Lakers, who have a 36-35 record.
The biggest game is when they play the Lakers, because that's going to swing it.
That's a big swing.
Right.
That's like a double whammy, because you're either going to lose one and they're going to gain one on you, or you're going to gain one and lose one. Mm-hmm. The Mavericks' schedule is tough, but the way they've been playing right now, I don't think that really matters. They've been playing well against tough teams.
It's tough, but they're all at home. These tough games, we're all at home games. Mavs have been way better at home. Their at home record is 20-14. Their on the road record is 14-22. So if that tells you anything, they've been a lot better at home. The Lakers have a pretty soft schedule until the last 4 or 5 games of the season, and they play playoff teams like 4 or 5 games in a row, and they're all away, and it's just a really tough ending to the season. They're all top teams, so I really do think the Mavs have a chance. They've got to finish strong, though. They've got to keep playing with this chip on their shoulder that they've been playing with. Cooper, what do you think?
I think it's going to be very, very tough. We've decided they have to go 11-1 to get to 45 wins, right?
Right. Initially, historically, you need 45 games in the West to make the playoffs. It might not be the case this year with the way those bottom teams are playing.
Yeah.
But if they were to get to 45 games, they would need to go 11-1.
Mm-hmm.
Not thinking that's going to be necessarily true this year.
Okay.
I think 42 games would get you in.
Okay. So let's say 9.
Maybe 43.
9-3 then.
I would say 43 games gets you in.
All right. Well, let's say 9-3. They got
two Nuggets games. Those are both tough.
They got two Nuggets games.
One in Denver. That's a tough game.
Yeah. They got a Spurs game. They got a Clippers game. And they got a Lakers game. And I think a Rockets game.
The Lakers game's at L.A.
Yeah.
They do not have a Rockets game.
They don't have a Rockets game
left?
They have
a Clippers game tonight.
Yes.
They play the Bulls
Indiana
and Pacers
on Thursday.
That's going to be a tough game.
Mm.
But they're both at home. These next three games are both at home.
All right, well, here, I got some stats for you. Since Rick Carlisle threw in the Mike James, they've gone 8-3 since he's moved into the starting lineup, and they've averaged 105.2 points and shot 50% from the field during that stretch. So great play from the Mavericks. But they also have lost 6 of their last 7 against the top 5 seeds in the West. That's San Antonio, Denver, Oklahoma City, Memphis, and the Clippers.
But they have been very close games.
Right.
They've been great, great games that have come down to the wire.
Right. But overall the season, they're 1-13 against those top 5 teams.
That's tough.
So it's tough.
No matter what, let's look at it this way. If the Mavericks, the Lakers, or the Utah, whoever makes that 8 seed spot.
The Utah Jazz.
Do you think that any of them can possibly upset the Spurs?
I don't. I really think the Spurs are playing too well
this year.
Who do you
think has the best chance?
I think
beat the Spurs?
I think the Lakers would have the best chance.
I think
any given day the Lakers can come in and wipe anybody out just because of the pure talent. I mean, they have Kobe for one. Kobe's just a winner. He can will a team in the fourth quarter to win games.
If it's close, Kobe can win it.
And they have the best defensive shot blocker rebounder in the league, and Dwight Howard, he's coming into his own, starting to score a lot more.
I don't know if he's the best. It's debatable at this point with what he's done.
He's starting to come into his own, play like his MVP self.
Okay,
I think if anybody were going to do it, it's the Lakers.
I think
Utah's got the least chance, just because they don't have that superstar.
Right. I'm going to throw this one out there. I think if the Rockets, for some reason, drop to the 8th seed, I think they have the best chance.
Okay.
I think because they've got Omer Asik, they've got James Harden playing out of his mind. They beat the Spurs last night, or 2 nights ago, with a last-second jumper shot by Harden. And they've got Jeremy Lin, who's 50-50 on whether
he's going to be good. The in-state rival will help, too.
Yeah.
Whether the Mavericks or Houston, if either one of them was to play.
And don't sleep on the Mavs. They have a lot of history. They're not a better team than San Antonio. But if they do make the playoffs, think about the incredible run that they're going to have to go on to make the playoffs.
They'll be on such a high.
They're going to be on such a high. Coming into the playoffs hot. They're going to, I mean, just playing out of their minds.
They still have talent. They have OJ Mayo. They have Dirk.
They can score a lot of points if they can figure out how to stop someone.
When does Marion come back?
He came back. He's been playing the last couple games.
So with Marion back, that could do a lot. He's a very good defensive player, so... You just got to cross your fingers, hope maybe they make it.
So if the Mavs make it, I think they would have a shot just based on energy alone. You always have Dirk. Dirk brings it to a totally different level in the playoffs. And San Antonio, historically in the last 4 or 5 years, has taken it down a notch when in the playoffs. They've come in a lot of times 1 or 2 seed and then dropped to a first or second round game. I wouldn't sleep on the Mavs, but I would give L.A. the most opportunity to knock him off.
Speaking of Dirk, there's been reports, well, it's true, that he has not been the leading scorer in the last month.
Yeah, he hasn't been the leading scorer,
but he's been
in a single game. But average-wise, I mean, he's still a top player. I mean, he's putting up 17, 18 points a game.
Yeah.
He's just not putting up 25, 28 one game, and then the next game doing 16. He's staying steady.
Mm-hmm.
He's playing well. It seems like this year's Mavs don't take it as much of a priority to get Dirk the ball.
Because he's averaging 18.1.
He's not taking as many shots. When he takes his shots, I mean, he has great field percentage.
And his rebounds are good. He's averaging 8.1 rebounds.
And I don't know if it was Jason Terry, that two-man game that got him the ball so well, but just they are not finding him. I don't know if it's Mike James or what the problem is, but Dirk's just not getting as many shot attempts as he should be. And a lot of these games they've been losing in the fourth quarter or second half, he's been taking 1 or 2 shots. I mean, that's...
Well, one thing, I don't think he has a good enough point guard to run the pick and roll with him.
No, he doesn't.
He usually runs a really well pick and roll because you can't... If you try to help too much, whoever your good point guard was going to blow by you and find somebody else. And if you did help, you're going to throw it to Dirk and he's going to either back you down or shoot it, or he's going to pick and pop. He's going to do something. So his ability to play off the pick and roll is so dominant because he's so multifaceted. He can do so many different things. Mm-hmm. Do you think that Dirk's averaging 18 points right now a game in the last 10 games. Do you think that he'll have to average like 25 through this last stretch, 25 to 30 points to be able to win?
No, I think he does need to bump it up. I think he needs to probably have around 18 to 20 for them to win. They need Mayo to keep playing the way. Mayo's numbers look like he has been playing a lot worse this last month. His numbers have dropped. He's had like 12, 13 points a game when he was averaging about 18. But he's been shooting way better. Carlisle came out and said, do not worry about Mayo. He's doing exactly what I want him to. He's taking way less shots. But he's shooting over 50% from the three. 53%.
That's the key, is efficiency.
53% in the three-point line and 49% from the field. That's fantastic.
The problem with Mayo when he was averaging a lot of points at the beginning of the season is he was taking so many shots. He was turning the ball over so much because he was trying to handle it and be the man. And there was nothing wrong with that because at that time, he was the man. They needed someone to win them games. But now that Dirk's back, tone it down a notch, play good basketball,
and just
play team basketball.
He's doing exactly what he needs to do. He's not turning it over. And when he plays the way he's been playing, I mean, look how they played the last month. They've been doing great.
They played very well.
They've been doing awesome.
Right. All right, guys, that's going to about do it for us today. We're going to very quickly give you a preview of the A&M Commerce Lions Athletics schedule. Today, right now, we've got men's golf, and I think women's golf too, but definitely men's golf playing at the Tuckwet Canyons Men's Intercollegiate Championship at the Tuckwet Canyon Golf Course in Corona, California. So they're doing that today. Sounds like a lot of fun. I would like to go to California. And we've got the men and women's track team at the Texas Relays the next 3 days, the 27th, the 28th, and the 29th. So check both
those
out.
Those are always fun track meets.
Yeah. Stay tuned to lionathletics.com. We'll get all the results from there. We'll post them to our website, too. You've been listening to KETR's Locker Room. Thank you so much for listening. The next podcast will come out Friday at 5. Mm-hmm.